impact his way this far.
Yes.
May the Lord richly bless each one of the musicians go to their seats. Amen. God bless you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everybody.
Yes.
I wanted to come up here and greet you and say, how's everybody in Goshen this morning? Amen.
Yes.
So, praise the Lord. You know, Brother Daniel, we could probably go home now, even after his opening prayer. That would probably be a good enough sermon for you right there, you know, but that's the truth. So, we just let the Lord know that everything that's going on. You know, Brother Rand talked about a storm. I had a big ice storm up north one time, and he said, you know, it really shut things down, I guess, a lot. And he said, you know, anytime something like that happens, we know our Lord has his hand in there somewhere. And so, you know, we know that our Lord has his hand in what's going on right now. And the last time I looked in the Bible, we're not children of darkness.
That's right.
We're children of the light.
Mm-hmm.
And his wrath is not intended for his children.
That's right.
That's right. But you got to make sure you're one of those children.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have that revelation. We know predestination says who is and who isn't. But you've got to know.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we just thank the Lord that he's got a message and word in the land will help you know who you are. And so you don't have to worry about it. Just put your trust in him. But so this morning, I want to talk about the attitude during the Exodus. So we go to the book of Exodus, chapter 11. And we'll begin reading at verse 1 and go through verse 7. Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry through all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to this portion of the service, we know it is the most important portion. And we're asking, Lord God, that through your great Holy Spirit, that you would just touch every heart, that you would let everything this morning be said and done the way you would have it said and the way you would have it done. And Lord, that you'd speak to the hearts, that each one of us would go away this morning with a jewel of truth in our hearts that will help us in the days ahead. Lord, we just love you, and we're glad to be Christians, and we know that this hour that we live in is such a tremendous time, and so we look to you this morning, the author and finisher of our faith, to perform those things that you have promised. We ask, God, that you be with us in this service now. Speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. You go into song service. You know, Brother Tim's, really going through a trial this morning, so the song service was even that much more of a blessing. He seemed to me like he's playing the guitar just fine.
Yeah.
And but you know, anytime there's a sacrifice in it, then there's a blessing in it too. And so I want to talk to you about the attitude during the Exodus. And probably most of you have seen it. Earlier in the week, I was read this quote to my wife and Benjamin in our reading scriptures at nighttime, and I've noticed it's gone around Facebook a lot, but there was a quote there that where Brother Brown talked about in this sermon called Accepting God's Provided Way for the End Time. And I'll read it to you, and then you'll know If you haven't seen it, you'll know why it's been circulating. But so I'm going to use this quote as a springboard along with the scripture we just read to go into the sermon this morning. So this is in 1963, accepting God's provided way at the end time. And Brother Bram says, Israel needed a way out of Egypt. And they needed a way, some military strength or something to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. God provided a prophet with the vindicated original word, Moses. Is that right? They wanted an army to rise up and to take them out and to beat the Egyptians down. But God sent them the word, a prophet with the vindicated word that God had spoke before to Abraham, saying, "Thy seed shall sojourn in a strange land, but I'll visit them with a mighty hand." And that was the word that God had spoke. They were crying for a deliverer, and God sent them a prophet with the word. God had a provided way to tell the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. Now, some of them said, "Well, if the plague falls, we'll just go to the hospital. If the plague happens to fall, you know what we'll do? We'll get Dr. Jones. He'll know how to take care of it." It didn't work. Yet, they were smart. "Well, if the plague falls, we'll just go down beneath the ground in a cave and shut the door down. That wouldn't do a bit of good. Well, we'll stay in the house and put a mask over our face and put some disinfectant on it. Didn't do a bit of good." God made a provided way, yes. And what was it? The blood. God provided, as simple as it seemed, to take the blood of a lamb and sprinkle the door. Yet God said that was his way, and he honored it. And all that were out from underneath the blood dies, the firstborn. And so you can see why that has been circulating this week. But I was just pondering on this, on the title. And Brother Graham, you know, his sermons, a lot of times they were announcements. They were things, you know. And so when he put that there, he said, God's provided way. Well, God's always had a provided way. And he even spoke of this in his message. He said, you know, he said, the guys are recording the tapes. He said, we've had, at this point, maybe 500 different sermon titles. He said, but not, you know, maybe something similar to this, but not just like this one. Because he was about to go, and he was between the sunset experience or between the, not sunset experience, but between, it serves as this the time and the ends, and actually going to sunset and having the seals, and he was right in between there when he said that. So he knew something was fixing to happen. And so he said, God's provided way at the end time. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about that, realizing he's telling us something here.
Yeah.
And what that tells us is that here at the end time, there's going to be circumstances that God's people are going to need a provided way.
Right.
And they can make a choice of all kinds of things they can choose. But there's going to be circumstances. And so God is, as always, has always done, he's going to provide a way for his people. No matter what comes, he's always going to provide a way for his people. Mm-hmm. Because if you think that something coming your way that he can't handle, you're making that problem bigger than God. And you know that's not right.
That's right.
So God will always provide a way for his people. Mm-hmm. And so when he gave us this title, he's telling us God's provided a way at the end time. So there's going to be situations and he's going to provide it. And therefore we have to, as the sermon says, accepting God's provided way at the end time.
Yep.
So when this time comes, we have to accept that and make sure we're accepting God's provided way and not going some other direction, chasing after something else. And so he uses it, as we read there, he uses Israel, and he uses many examples, but in this portion he was using Israel as an example when they was going through the Exodus. And so he talked about, he said, they needed a way out, right? They needed a way out, and they're no different than what we are. They needed a way out. Pharaoh was oppressing them. And even if they had knew and believed that they were God's people, they needed a way out. And he said they thought that there might be some great army, some great powerful army or some might that would raise up that would do it.
Yep. Yeah.
And the point I'm getting at there is that man's always got his idea on how something can be handled. When a situation comes your way, well, we'll just do this or we'll just do that.
Uh-huh.
And usually, pretty much, when man chooses something, what God's choice is the opposite or something different than that. It's pretty much that way because, man, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. Because we as Christians are not supposed to follow after leadership of man. We're supposed to be following the leadership of God. And so when this situation came along, he said, well, they thought there'd be some great military might that would rise up and set them free. But God said, no, it's not going to be that at all. It's going to be something that you'd never choose. If you come up and said, let's all get together and let's determine how we think God could do this, you know, then they would have never got together and said, well, I think he's going to send a man out from, you know, to come in and he's got whiskers on and one man's going to do it. They wouldn't have done that. They said, oh, I think, you know, if we could get the Amorites, they'd come down and they'd join up with the Canaanites or whatever, you know, and they'd finally get an army big enough and they could come down and beat down the Egyptians and we'd get to go free. They'd choose something like that, but that's not what God chose.
Right.
God chose his word.
Right.
Because he had already spoken. He spoke and exactly what was going to happen. I'll bring you out with a mighty hand. And that mighty hand wasn't going to be some great army. That mighty hand was going to be one man with the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he was going to bring him out. That's all he needed.
Yep.
Didn't need anything else. Mm-hmm. See? But man will try to come up with everything but that.
That's right.
And so he provided him a way. And he sent a prophet. And then that prophet provided and gave to them instructions on the token. How to apply the token, and the token is the thing that made the difference. Because we've seen there that God said, I'm going to bring one more plague, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to bring one more plague upon Egypt, and this time they're going to let you go. And this same Pharaoh who has been saying, no, you can't go, no, you can't go, no, you can't go, by the time I get done with this, he's going to thrust you out. He's going to want you gone so quick that it'll make your head spin. So I'm going to make his mind change, and I've said this many times in the past, it wasn't the frogs, it wasn't the lice, it wasn't the fleas, it wasn't the hail and fire running across the ground, it wasn't that, it wasn't the water turning to blood, none of that stuff made Pharaoh let him go,
right.
But it was the death of the firstborn,
yeah.
Because that was pointing to Calvary, that the only thing that would ever get Satan to let go of the people, the thing that would beat him down, would be that one on Calvary. Right? And so it had to be a blood of a firstborn. And so we know that's how it happened. So he provided them this token. God, and as Brother Bram said, God had a way to prove and determine who was the believers and who was the unbelievers.
Yeah.
So this was unfolding back then at that hour, and it's always been this way through the ages when a showdown happened. God always had a way to see who was believers and who was unbelievers. And so the believers could stay with the word, and unbelievers would go whatever other route there would be. And so Brother Branham is using this title, and he's talking about this. And, you know, he's trying to convey something to us. When I was sharing this with Aunt Mary the other night, she said, I think Brother Branham saw this right now, what's going on. I think he saw exactly. Because, you know, all you got to do, I just punched it in last night. I said, rich building, and it populated the rest. $1 billion bunkers. Just do a search on it. The ultra-rich people of the world are building underground bunkers. They've done it. I think Bill Gates has one, if I understand. Because if there's an apocalypse, a war, a nuclear war, or some virus or something like that, they're going to run to the holes in the ground.
Yeah.
So when it talks in the scriptures about they run to the caves and they say, hide us from the wrath of him that's on the throne. And these guys that's their answer, see? That's their answer of how to deal with judgment or how to deal with apocalypse. Is they're going to run to the dirt where they come from.
Yeah.
But Christians, we're not going to run to the dirt. We're not going to run to our flesh and the things of the world. We're going to run to the place where we come from.
Right.
And that's from heaven, from God.
Yeah.
Just like Jesus Christ is the Word, we're the Word.
Right.
See, but that's all they know to do. So whenever Brother Branham is saying this, he says, well, I'll just go to the cave and I'll shut the door down. Well, caves don't really have doors, right, that you can shut.
Yeah.
So you get the point there. He's showing you they're going to be, just like the Scripture said, they're going to be trying to hide from the wrath of God, hide from the things that are coming forth by going to the dirt, going to the caves and the rocks and the mountains and saying, hide us. And so Brother Branham is pointing that out there. So he's looking in this hour and he sees what's going on, and he sees that the rich people are going to do that, and he sees where people are going to, well, I'll just go to the doctor, or I'll just go and I'll get in my house and I'll put a mask on and I'll get disinfected. And he said about all those things that didn't do a bit of good.
Right.
Now, he's actually talking about Israel back then, but he's telling us a message. God's provided way at the end time. And he parallels that. And so you know that back then they probably wasn't putting masks on and disinfecting.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to bring us into the cycle so we understand what's going on.
Right.
And letting us know that when you see these things happening, God has a provided way.
Yeah.
Right? So when you see those things happening, God has a provided way for you. And so he's letting us know that it repeats here at the end time. These rich people going and building these bunkers and things, that's just how it is. But see, here's the thing about it is, when that was going on there in Egypt, that plague or whatever you want to call it, that was the hand of God. And he had a purpose in doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
Those things were coming forth because he was setting his people free.
Mm-hmm.
And those things had to happen to set them free. And so when all that was falling, it wouldn't make a difference to go do all these other things. And none of that was going to stop the plague, and none of that was going to stop the effectiveness of the plague, because there was only one solution that would protect them from the plague, and that was the Passover lamb, the blood over the doorpost, and the token. That was the only thing that was going to save them in that hour from the judgment that was rolling through the land.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing that could do it. To save them, protect them. And so my point is there is that when God says enough is enough and he's bringing judgment on a people, he's got something he's doing, he's got a purpose for it. He doesn't just sit around and just do things, you know. He has a purpose for why he would send something like that. And as I said, he was doing those things because he was in the process of letting his people go free from the bondage of Egypt. And so it was one thing after another, and those things didn't cause it, and other things didn't cause it. But when it got down to that final thing, well, that made Pharaoh let them go. They got up to go in an exodus. So if you can parallel that today, there could be all kinds of things going on, all kinds of things here and there, but it's that major thing that's going to happen where God is setting his people free, and the ones who are going to be free are those who are under the token. That's the ones that get to go free. And so he's telling us this. Now, how many remembers when Brother Ram talks about, he's talking about the seals and the trumpets and the vials and so forth. And he tells us that when the Pentecostal movement was poured out upon the world, but it actually in the United States on the West Coast, which how many knows he also said that it fell in some other places too, fell in Russia and they rejected it, remember?
Mm-hmm.
In some different places. And so, but when it fell, when that finally, you know, when we had Luther with justification, Wesley with sanctification, these are major moves of God that he's putting into the land.
Yep.
For his people. And then it comes time for the restoration of the gifts, and it's the Pentecostal movement, a major movement of God giving to his people. Why? Because he's on this plan moving, and he's, what is he doing? He's heading to a place where he's going to take his people home.
Yep.
And so this is a sequence. And so when he poured out the restoration of the gifts there in 1906, I believe it was, Azusa Street, and God intended for his church to take hold of that.
Mm-hmm.
And go with it. But the church world did not. They failed to move up. They rejected it, and they failed to move up. And Brother Graham said, God poured a judgment out upon that, a plague out upon that, because of that, and it was the influenza plague of 1918.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, we live in a modern day and people can say this and say that and they think, well, here's what it is and it's just this and it's just that. No, it's God bringing judgment, right? He can do those things, and these things, if we just say, well, it's just, you know, it's just a virus. We'd do ourselves good if we would take it to the scriptures and say, you know what? Anytime something like that's going on, our Lord has his hand in it.
Yeah.
Because you see, if they rejected the Pentecostal message and all the goodness and greatness that it was, but it wasn't what would give us rapture, mm-hmm. right? Or we'd have done been gone.
Yeah.
But as great as it was, if the world rejected that, and God poured out a judgment upon the world at that time for rejecting it, and it cost the lives of between 75 and 100 million people, mm-hmm. I think is some of the estimates I've heard there. That without plane travel like we have today, it traveled around the world three times in 18 months and killed that many people.
Yeah.
A judgment mm-hmm. wasn't just a virus. It was a judgment that God poured out because this is his universe.
Yeah.
And these people on this earth, they are subject to what his plan is. And when he says it's time to pour out judgment because they've rejected something, that's the way it is. And they can call it whatever they want, but it's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So if when they rejected the Pentecostal movement in the partiality of what it was, that plague was poured out, what about when the world rejects the entire message, the fullness of the word that's been displayed? What's going to happen from that?
Right.
So my point is that we should not wave this stuff off and say, well, you know, it's just whatever. We need to know that at some point, as Brother Daniel pointed out a while ago, that there is judgment and these things are coming.
Mm-hmm.
But let me encourage you to remember that the wrath of God is not for you,
right.
God's children. So these things are coming. We better get ready for it. We might as accept it because it's pretty much rough riding going forward.
Right.
If we thought it's been rough, it's going to be rough riding going because this ain't going to blow over in just a few days.
Right.
Right? It's not going to. And so it's a serious matter. More serious for the world,
mm-hmm.
but it's serious for us too.
Right.
We're going to feel the impact. You know, as I read in the scriptures, we might get a chance to read it again, where I read it last week, that in Psalms 91, only with thine eye shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. But you're going to have to look at it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever Israel was being brought out of Egypt, and that night when that death was passing through the land, I choose to believe it this way, that you know, we just read there in the scriptures that even Moses, that even Pharaoh's servants had high regard toward Moses because they had seen that it was real.
Yeah.
But they were in that system. They were underneath it. And so, you know, and so I'm pretty sure that there were lots of people in Egypt that had great respect. The scriptures said that when they wanted to borrow the jewels, they gave them great favor. Them Egyptians didn't just hand all that silver and gold over there because they didn't think nothing of the people. They held them in high regard. They knew. The servants knew. They knew there was something about this movement that's real.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
And yet when it happened, Israel had to stand in that house there and they had to hear the cries outside of the token.
Mm-hmm.
May not come nigh your dwelling. The scriptures promises that. But they had to listen to that. They had to hear those things.
Yeah.
And so We would just might as well just realize that while we're here, God's delivering his people.
Yeah.
And while we're here and he's delivering his people, these things are going to get worse and worse and worse on the world. And it will affect us. It will affect our paycheck. It will affect those things. Though it's not a plague upon us, it is going to affect us.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's on the world. And it's God setting his people free. So, you know, God could have come down and he could have said, at midnight, I'm going to snap my fingers and all of Israel is going to disappear out of Egypt and they're going to be in the promised land and all the inhabitants of the promised land will cease and be no more.
Come on. Right.
God could have done that.
Sure.
That's not the way he wanted to do it.
That's right.
And God can take us and just say, you're just going to, we're going to just take you and you're just going to be gone and you're going to appear over there and those glorified bodies. But that's not the way he's doing it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? God's doing it like he did here. And he sent a prophet to tell us what God's provided way at the end time is. And so God's doing it, and we're going to have to go through these same steps right here that we see in the Exodus to realize that there's a choice we have to make to accept what this prophet said, get into what that prophet said, act it out. And though we know we are a people protected, and by faith we're protected, we're going to see it, we're going to hear it, we're going to know what's going on, and we should at that time have the right kind of attitude when that's going on.
That's right.
We should. The world doesn't have anything else but doctors, hospital, masks, caves, and disinfectant. That's all they've got. And I'm not condemning people. I'll tell you, go get you some disinfectant. Use it, you know. The scriptures tell us to render to Caesar that which he requires, right? And if Caesar says, be careful, distance yourself, don't go do these things, I think we should do that. But don't put your confidence in it because it's not going to do it any good.
Right.
See, that's all they have. And we want to be in the middle of the road that no matter what happens, we're living a Christian testimony, and we're in a position where God can anoint with power to show those around us that this is where it's at. This is where the protection is at.
Right.
God needs somebody to stand in the gap so that they have somewhere to go to.
Yep.
And they can't go to these other places and get it. Somebody has to stay in that spot. Somebody has to go through the persecution and being laughed at and all that, but to stand pat on truth so that when those plagues fall, the people will know.
Yeah, that's right.
See? We've got to be in that spot. And so they have nowhere else to turn to but those things. But to the believer, we've got the promise. And I don't mean say, well, you know, I got the promise. I ain't worried about it. No, you be wise like God said to it. And when you've done all to stand, then stand still and see the glory of God.
That's right.
Don't tempt God, but believe it.
Right.
Right? Don't be boastful about your position as a Christian. I don't have to do that. No, you just, and here, this is what I'm getting at, is our attitude. When these things are unfolding, it's very important. You heard Brother Daniel. I thought that was a sickum to me, you know, at the end of his prayers. Attitude. Because there is an attitude that we should have when these things are going on. And when judgment's rolling through the land, I don't think we just come along and you know, we just come over here and just, judgment's falling out there. They should have behaved themselves, but they didn't. But it's not bothering me, because I'm in here.
Yeah.
You think that's the way it was?
No.
It ain't to be that way now either.
No.
People are dying out there.
Right.
Somebody, as I was just was thinking, sat on a screw there on that chair. Somebody's heart has to be hardened.
That's right.
Pharaoh's heart had to be hardened.
Yep.
And we shouldn't be going, well, see, they rejected it. And Pharaoh's heart, you know, that's not what it was. That's not the picture that is painted at all. Because the scripture said that they had to stand there with their shoes on their feet, their staff in their hand, their loins, they had to be dressed, and they had to eat that lamb. With the bitter herbs, with the blood over the door. They weren't just sitting around saying, well, just hand me some more of that lamb. I believe they were standing there and were trembling.
Yeah.
Trembling. Because there's just a hair width between us and them.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for this token that God provided, where would we be? If it wasn't just for that right there, where we would be us screaming. That would be in here with us.
Right.
See? And people I know and people I work with and people that I would shake their hand on the street and I would buy something from them and I went to school with them and I hear the cries of them. I see what's happening to them. This is judgment.
Yep.
Judgment's moving through the land. And it's not something we just kind of, you know, whatever. We should be like the scripture showed us. We should realize that God is setting his people free, and we need to have our loins. We need to have our dressed with the word. We need to be eating that word of that lamb. We need to have the token on display and know that we're on the move.
Yeah.
We are on the move.
Yeah.
It's not time to be tied up with all this other stuff. We're on the move because God is moving. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right.
And so there had to be a desperation. This is the way I see it. You know when Brother Graham preached the sermon, the token, mm-hmm. right after the seal, it was the pre-token. What was the next sermon? Desperation. And so I believe that there has to be a desperation in our hearts. And whatever the source of that might be, whether it's because you hear people that you know, and you hear their cries, you see the judgment that's upon them, or if it's because you realize that there's just a hair's breadth difference between them and us, and the fact that judgment, when it's rolling through the land, God can take the whole, every person if he wanted to, but he's provided a way and just a razor blade width between us and them, and the difference is that token.
Yep.
Right?
That's right.
The difference is that token. To know that it's, this is an awesome thing.
Yes.
And I would say probably if it did happen this way, if all of a sudden there was some noise outside and we'd all run outside and we could see him coming, I doubt that you would be standing out there going, oh, it's the coming of the Lord. Come on. Yeah, look here.
Mm-hmm.
No, you'd probably fall to your knees and start crying out to God just like they did in some of Brother Branham's meetings,
yeah.
Like the choosing of a bride. Right. See?
Yep.
So there has to be the right attitude during these things. We have to have the right attitude. And if we don't have the right attitude, then there's something missing there. Everything's not in place right. Because there has to be the correct attitude while these things are happening.
That's right.
And so there had to be why? Why would I say this? And because the cost of going free, it's tremendous.
Yeah.
And God wants to make sure that you never forget what that cost. that you're just like, well, yeah, Jesus died for me. I wonder what's going on with Facebook. I'll spend 4 hours doing that tonight. Mm-hmm. And never bring your heart to him.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go and you can sit through Bible devotions. You can read your Bible every day. You can even pray every day and never give him your heart.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not going to work. Until you come to him wholeheartedly in desperation and saying, woe is me, God, if you don't save me, I'm not going to be saved. Unless you come like that, then you're not even in contact yet.
Yeah.
See? And so he wants us to never forget the cost. You know, whenever the priest, you'd go down and take your lamb there and you'd put your hands on it, and then you'd feel that when they'd kill that lamb, you'd feel that death and that quivering and that jerking and that. And no, if your heart was right, you would weep over that and say, it should have been me.
Yeah.
See? And so God wants us to always lay our hands on Calvary and feel the struggling and the pain and what it cost for that firstborn to die for us. Mm-hmm. Well, it shouldn't be where we, yeah, let's kill the lamb. There's his blood. It should be a solemn moment.
Yes.
To know that death has struck, and it was the death of that innocent one that's the only thing, just a razor blade width between me and that judgment that I hear taking the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Only just that much distance. The death. And oh, what would it be like if it hadn't been for that death?
Yeah.
So he wants you, it's the bitter herbs, to remember the bondage of sin. And to know that suffering of that lamb and his blood there as a shield between you. And to hear, to know that judgment's real.
Yeah.
But it can't get to you. And why it can't get to you? Because of that token. You better have it.
Yes.
You better have that token.
Yeah.
You can waste precious time, and we've all done it.
Yeah. Amen.
Waste precious time away. Doing frivolous things, some doing things you ought not do, mm-hmm. and waste away that opportunity. Because there is a time when God says it's done.
Right.
And you know, it may sound horrible, but he's a just God and he's never done anything wrong. And he's righteous in his judgment. And he says there's cases where he can say, I'll laugh at your calamity.
Come on.
You better have respect for the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Most High God.
Yes.
Because your life is in his hands. See? And I say that, and I know I'm talking to pretty much Christians, but still yet, the sincerity of serving him and pushing the things aside that's a distraction, it is, there's such a distraction.
That's right.
See? Satan wants to distract you with all this, and we give attention to it, but you know what? We got to keep focused on that word, on that lamb, on that blood, on the doorpost.
Yes.
We got to keep that focused, and while that's happening, realizing, woe is the world, and it would be me too if it wasn't for that token right there that's between me and them.
That's right.
Right? So he wants you to know that cost. He wants you to remember that sin was a bitter thing, and he wants you to know that judgment is real. Don't pass it off as being something simple.
Right.
It's real. Mm-hmm. It surprised me to see people message people acting like this is no big deal, because you know what? And maybe it's not the big thing. But the time will come when it will be the real thing, if this isn't. One plague after another, every one of them weakening Egypt, weakening the economy, weakening the nations, weakening the government, getting ready for what? For God's people to go free. And so, Egypt, as I said a while ago, there had to be somebody whose heart was hardened. You know, and I won't get into much of it right now, but you know what the scripture says about our character and how that we should be able to love people and have divine love, divine character.
Yeah.
And that is a character that when, as I said this to someone the other day, I think it might have been a Mormon guy I work with. I think that's who it was. And I said, you love your wife, she loves you, and you know, and I'm just paraphrasing, but you love each other, and you know, your relationship is reciprocating, and you do things to for her, and she does things for you, and you love each other like that. I said, but could you love her if all she ever did was spit in your face and work against everything that you tried to do for her? And he said, you know, probably not for very long. Well, that's not God's love. That's human love. That's filial love.
That's right.
But God's love is that when we weren't even looking his direction, had no desire for him, none, that he died for us.
Yep.
That's the kind of love. And a kind of love that we could spit in his face, we could spend 40 hours a week on social media and not read our Bible once. Mm-hmm. And he's still there loving you. See what I mean? And so, somebody has to stand in the gap. And that's what Christians do. We are to stand in the gap and be Christ, as the scripture said, as he is in this world, so are you.
Right?
Right? So, we are to be him. And so, somebody had to pay a price there. Egypt's heart had to be hardened. And there was a destruction had to take place there. Just for everything to be in place that we can have the right reverential respect of the deliverance.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You have to be familiar with those things. And so while all that's going on, we have to have that, eat the food in haste and everything, as we said just a little while ago, while we're hearing the cries.
Yeah.
Standing there trembling and saying, oh God, if it wasn't for you, that'd be me.
Right.
And then having the right attitude and saying, and I was going to say a little while ago, to love people and love believers like we're supposed to. And how can you ever show that kind of love until you do go through somebody that's spitting in your face?
Yep.
See?
That's right.
He's looking for someone to stand in the gap. There's a scripture that talks about that. Look to find somebody, and because he couldn't find somebody, he judged. Because when you and I leave here, if we're the bride of Christ, when we leave here, there's nobody to stand in the gap. Then judgment falls. Because we are what stands in the gap. And so, you know what? We are. And I know President Trump has declared today as a national day of prayer. And that sounds like the right thing to do. And that's all they know to do. If they're kind of what we would refer to as nominal Christians. We understand that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not saying it's not got some worth.
Yeah.
But there is an entity on this earth that stands in the gap. And it's she who has Jesus Christ in her. And she is to stand in the gap and say, God, be merciful. And to be that Christ for this generation as they go through these things. Give them a place to come to. And so, judgment will fall when he takes his bride. But as I said last week, there is a safety zone. And I, if she'll bring up Psalms chapter 90, or 91, we'll begin reading and we'll read through it. I'll make comments like I did last week, but he that dwelleth. Dwelling, when I go into the store, I'm not dwelling there. I'm only in there for a few minutes and then I'm gone.
Right.
But dwelling is the place that you stay. It's identified with your home.
Mm-hmm.
Your name's on the door.
Yeah.
They know that's you.
Yeah.
Right? And this is where you, this is the community you live in. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, this is what we should be saying. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. We'll just hold that right there so I can make some comments. We have a person who's worked hard to try to make America great again. And lots of numbers look good and everything's up. But where's it at today?
Yeah.
In 1 week, week and a half. Nothing against him. I thank the guy, the man for what he's doing. I have respect for the man. But I'm trying to tell you, when judgment's been declared,
mm-hmm.
nobody can make it great again if God doesn't allow it.
Right.
And all it takes is one little thing. The masks don't help. The sanit, you know, the disinfectant don't help. The doctors don't help. Why? Because it's judgment. You can't defeat that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't defeat those things. And so, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So these things that want to come at us, he says he will deliver us from those things. This is the promise. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. So what are you going to protect yourself with? His promise. What he's promised to do. And what did I say a while ago? Man chooses all kinds of ways, but they don't work. God has a provided way, and that's our choice.
Yeah.
Right? We're not going to be disrespectful. We're not going to be arrogant. We're going to walk in the middle of the road, but we're going to trust the promise of God. Amen. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I just pray for Sister Pansy. You pray for her too. She's older, vulnerable. If God don't keep her, she can't be kept. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I said. If I said, God, though 1,000 fall by her side and 10,000 by her right, you keep her.
That's right.
Right? Amen.
Yeah.
Believe it.
Yes.
Because we have a God who's promised, and it's a showdown.
Yes.
And he's not going to be defeated, and he's not going to, his people's not going to go out as a whimper.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 on the right, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And here's why. Here's why it's not going to come to your dwelling. It's not going to come to you, right? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation.
Amen.
This is, you've made a choice. I'm going to enter into him, and that's where I'm going to live.
Yep.
That's going to be my dwelling place. And I'm going to enter into him, and in there, Satan can't get to me.
Yeah.
I might see it, I might hear it, I might know about it, mm-hmm. But it won't come to me because I'm hid in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean that our sister out there that's got this coronavirus, that doesn't mean that she's not in Christ. You understand?
Right.
We're talking about in the promise, and no matter what goes on in this world, this is flesh, this is the world. No matter what goes on, no matter what God chooses to let us endure, no matter where we're at, we are in Christ. We believe His promise because Satan can't ultimately get to us.
Right.
He might take this flesh, but he can't take the son of daughter, or daughter of God that's inside.
Amen.
Amen. So He is our safety zone. Verse 8 there. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. If your dwelling place is in Christ, how could Satan come and get you?
That's right.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But see, here's the whole thing. It's our choice. Are we going to be in Christ? Are we going to hide ourselves in the provided way at the end? And that is the token life that was given to us through the instructions of a prophet that God sent instead of some great theologian, a man from Kentucky who had the goods that God gave it to him to display to this generation. You know, if you're not listening and you're not obeying those things, what certainty do you have? See? Because you've got to be inside the token to be saved. You know, the scripture says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a balance in all this. To believe God, but not be arrogant.
Yeah.
There's a balance. So you be respectful and toward others. And as they're going through the troubles and you know they don't have the revelation you have, you should say, God, be merciful. God, help them.
Yeah.
Help me to show. Help them to draw strength. That while they're going through these things, that I can be an intercessor for them.
Yes.
Because if I'm not interceding, I'm not Christ.
Yeah.
Right. See what I'm saying? And to never forget, the scripture says that when you see a man fall in temptation, you go to him in the spirit of meekness and restore him. In the spirit of meekness, not arrogance, but you go to him in the spirit of meekness to restore him and consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Because
mm-hmm.
a surefire way for you to be wrung out is for you to treat somebody else in a way you shouldn't, not being merciful to the fact that they had a failure or something in their life. Amen.
Yeah.
And so the scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so as we go and we face these things, that we don't want to just through ignorance just say, well, you know, no, we want to conduct ourselves according to the revelation of the word and move through these days ahead with the wisdom of God's revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that don't mean you're not going to go buy some hand sanitizer. Okay? You can do whatever. But what I'm saying is whatever you do, do it by faith.
Amen.
Because whatsoever is not in faith is sin.
So
we conduct ourselves in a manner, and we have to go out there. We got to go to the store. We have to work. We have to do these things. And that's what you should do. So you get in your car in the morning, and you can say, God, it's your promise. I have to go out there in that world. I'm having to go out there. I'm having to rub shoulders. I'll probably have to shake hands with people, even though they tell you not to. I'll probably do all this. And God, it's your promise. I'm trusting you to keep me, and keep my family, and keep this church. You see what I'm saying? And so you go in faith, believing that you've taken a stand for the word in humility, being everything you can for anybody around you that needs anything from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you go, and while you're doing it, you're saying, God, there's just a hair's breadth difference between me and them, and I'm gonna keep before me the urgency and the desperation that I should have in my walk with you, knowing that these people, that could be me.
Yeah.
You could say, well, they did wrong, they knew better. Well, have you ever done anything wrong that you knew better?
Amen.
See what I mean? Not one of us can accuse someone else.
That's right.
Not a one. I don't care how long you've served God, what you've attained to, you have no way And listen, God's going to make sure you understand that even your preachers aren't supermen.
That's right.
Right? We heard about Donnie Reagan this morning. That man is strong. He's stout. He's a bulldozer.
Yep.
You know that if he had to leave the pulpit while he was preaching, something was wrong.
Yep.
But see, God has got to break this so that people aren't just trusting in just Brother Branham or trusting just in their pastor.
Yep.
But we all have to have that experience, because when it comes rapture morning, it's going to be me and the Lord.
Yep.
Not me and the pastor, me and somebody else.
Right.
And so if the Lord has to allow things to happen so that people realize, wait a minute, my pastor's not Superman, then that's what he'll have to do.
Right.
So do me a favor. Don't put me or Brother Daniel up on a pedestal somewhere where we don't belong.
Right.
We're one of you. Yes, we're ministers. We're accountable.
Right.
But don't put us somewhere where we don't belong.
Man.
Because he'll have to do something about it if you do.
Right.
And believe me, take my word for it. I don't need to be on a pedestal. I know me.
Yeah.
I know the struggles I have. My wife, she's like raising her eyebrows at me. I know you too. You know, but no, it's true.
Yeah.
We all need to be remembering those. I have one of my employees this morning text me and said he was feeling bad, aches and pains, sore throat. You know, we're just walking through by faith.
That's right.
Conducting ourselves wise, not trying to tempt the Lord, not trying to just say, well, I'm going to bust through this thing because I've got God's protection. No, you walk carefully, humbly, believing. Saying, oh God, keep me, keep my family, keep this church, keep my grandkids, keep my workers that I'm working with. But what I've been saying in my mind in prayer before the Lord is keep them, but make sure they learn a lesson in this. Make sure they learn something here. Because if they don't learn, what's good is it done?
Right.
See? So keep them, Lord. Use it, teach them, train them, make them come to the place where they need to know in Revelation, but keep them. Let them be the trophies of your grace in this hour.
Yes.
Amen. So whatever we do, we want to do it by faith, based upon God's promise. You say, well, Brother Tony, you want to not just go into the stores when everybody's in there? That's right. I don't want to go. See, I'm not going to tempt the Lord to run around in there and go, here, breathe on me. Right? I'm not going to do that. I'm not.
Right?
Right? But if I have to go, I'll be wise, go whenever I think would be a good time, and I'll trust God.
Yeah.
Right? I'll trust God at that time and any other time. Based on a promise. You say, well, Brother Tony, if you don't want to go to the store in this crowd, now here you are in church with a bunch of people. Yes, but you see, I've got the word.
Mm-hmm.
Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together.
Yeah.
So when I come here with you, I can say, God, we are doing what you said do. You're more powerful than these things. We're trying to walk with you, walk in truth, and we're gathering together that we might minister and receive of the gospel that you have here. We're obeying your word, so you cover it.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? Because we've got word for it. But I don't have word to run out in the middle of Walmart and start hugging people. See what I'm saying? There's a middle of the road. So the only way that you can do things by faith is to have it based upon the promise, and it's the promises that God has given us that don't put your confidence in all that stuff. Put your confidence in the only thing that will work, and that's token life.
Yep.
Right.
Amen. That's the only thing that will work. Based on the promise. We assemble by faith, serving God and serving one another. And you know what? I think I mentioned this to Brother Daniel in a text. As these things go on and the world does the things it does, the precious time you get to spend with your brothers and sisters is becoming more precious.
Amen.
Right. Amen. You see why the scripture said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly at the end. Because, you know, not because we're afraid of viruses and things like that, but, you know, Lord, we want to go and be in a place and a condition that's fitting to the holiness that he is and the righteousness and the move of God in our lives. There has got to be an environment where we can worship and be together and not have all these things of the world. And he's got a place for us. And so as we do this, remember, there has to be suffering, but we got to have the right attitude.
Yeah.
And if we don't, it's probably because we don't have the right revelation. Mm-hmm. Because it's us who's in that condition, though it be for that token.
Yeah.
That's the difference. And that should make us be real serious about whether we have the token applied. Do we really have that revelation of the Word between us and the world? And that's what it is. The revelation of an end time message that no matter how the world tries to come and get me, whether it's through TV, whether it's through magazines, whether it's through comic books, whether it's through social media, any interaction the world tries to get to me, it has to go through the filter of the Word first.
Yeah.
Because that's my token. That's not just a letter, but that's a life that's in us. That says, no, I will not permit those things into my life. I will not feed on those things. I will not be part of this world. I will not accept the unbelief and the fear of this world.
Right.
That's token. That's token life. Some of you work with the public. Trust him. Be wise, but trust him. Because when we get to the end of where we're going, he can take it the rest of the way.
That's right.
And so he does want us to put some feet on our belief and do what we can and trust him for all the rest. And you trust him while you're doing what you can, too. But, amen. And we should always remember that the world is falling apart. There's nothing going to stop it. But listen, you know, having the token, I'm going to say this, and you just hear me through so you understand what I'm getting at. Judgment rolling through the land is not convenient. It's not convenient for you. It's not convenient for anybody. Having that token on display that night of Passover was not convenient.
Right.
They had to stop their normal things they were doing that day. They couldn't lay down in bed like they normally would. Okay? And a lot of people, the reason why I'm saying this is because a lot of people will say, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm just not going to do that because it's not convenient for me. They may not tell you that, but a lot of times people's like, well, that's just not convenient. I go to the store this time every day, and I'm going today. Mm-hmm. Out of ignorance. See what I'm saying? I'm just going to go. It's not convenient, but it's not supposed to be convenient. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Judgment's rolling through the land. It's not supposed to be a picnic. We're supposed to be in desperation. There is supposed to be cries. You see what I'm saying? And it's going to be that way. And so God knows how to take the stuffing out of the nest. Mm-hmm. And as we said it before, he has got to make it to where that little eagle is sitting there in that nest, and he knows that it's time that eagle should be getting out there and flying, because the safest place for an eagle is in the air.
Yeah.
Not in the nest, even though their nest is really high, they still have issues. So Papa Mama Eagle knows the best place for that eagle is not in the nest, but it's out there in the air. That's the place. You know, Solomon said there was four things that was too wonderful for him to understand, and one of them was the way of the eagle in the air. Solomon, this man with a gift of wisdom, he says, I don't understand. I don't get it. And what's the last anointing that's on the last days? A flying eagle.
Right.
So even Solomon's saying, the way these end time Christians overcome worldly things, I don't get it. I don't get it. Why? But you see, that's why it's that way, is because that's the safest place, the most powerful place. That's where they are a predator, not being preyed upon.
Yeah.
Right? That's where they are. And so God knows that it's time. It's time to get you out there flying where you're supposed to be, where you can be that image of Christ for this day just before rapture. Get out there. And so, but he also knows we're too busy with social media and too busy with our bank accounts and too busy with the ability to go to the store anytime we want to, too busy with all these things that we're really not getting out of the nest. So what does he do? He has to make the nest where it's not comfortable anymore. I know you've heard this stuff before, but it's timely
right.
to know that if he's going to have to strike these things to get people to let go of them.
Yeah.
He's going to have to do it. And so he's going to have to cause these people who's got on the movement of Make America Great Again. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not our that's not our token.
Right.
See? That's going to crash so that we won't have confidence in it. And as I said, I have great respect for our president and what he's done. But that ain't it. And I'm not slighting him one bit, but he's not our Savior.
Right.
Judgment's been declared, and it has to fall, because if he makes America great again and all of our bank accounts go really fat and everything's fine, we're not going to be wanting to get out of the nest, are we?
Right.
So things have to come. One little old bitty, almost invisible thing has wrecked the whole world. For who knows how long to come.
Yeah.
Mostly because of fears, but it's packing a punch.
Yeah.
And these people that's commenting, saying things like, oh, you know, they're not going to feel very good when somebody they know has someone die to it, and they just boasted that it was a hoax.
Yeah.
It's real. And even if it wasn't real, God said the judgments are coming, and Brother Graham spoke of these things moving through the land and not able to go and get those who have the seal of God in the forehead. He didn't talk about it. Amen. And so he has to pull the stuffing out of the nest so that the eagles, you know, he didn't say that the mama eagle comes up and pulls the stuffs out and then throws them out necessarily, which maybe they do at some point if they have to. But the idea is this. That the eagle, the little bitty eagle that should be flying, makes a decision. You know what? I think I'll be better off if I'm out there soaring by faith.
Yeah.
Than trusting in a bank account, trusting in a president that's making America great again, trusting in hospitals who can take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
See, nothing wrong with all that, because remember, it's a tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying there's not good on that tree. But if you take a bite to get the good, you get the evil.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So they tell you, well, we'll run to the doctor. But now they're telling you that shortly, if something don't happen, they'll be overrun, like it was in China and like it is in Italy. They can't even put people in the hospital because they don't have hospitals for them. They're full. They're overrun. And we're already making preparations here in this nation. We're putting up some tents and stuff to make hospitals out. Why? Because they know the numbers. And it's going to overwhelm the system, see? So I'll just run to the doctor, as Brother Brent said. Won't do no good. Why? Because they're overwhelmed.
Right.
Well, I'll just run and hide down in a cave, or I'll go into my home and I'll put a mask on. And they tell you these masks don't work after they get wet. You breathe on them, and after a couple hours, they don't work. And they don't fail-proof anyway. Disinfected. You see what I'm saying? Everything that man tries to go to, God has said it ain't going to work, and he's told us it's not going to work. So he's letting you know the world is falling apart. Refocus yourself and say, it's time to start soaring by faith and believing. And not living in this nest as though I'm going to live in this nest forever. Because
right.
We're not. We're not going to live in the nest of the world forever. If the Lord tarries and we all live to be a ripe old age, at some point we're going to leave this world and be in another dimension, like what we're talking about, soaring in faith and supernatural presence of God. So, we don't want to look to a man. We don't want to look to the world. We want to know that God's telling us it's time to rise up. And so, Brother Branham, I was listening to him as Brother Tim was come, musicians come. I was listening to Brother Bram in this sermon. He said, talking about that place over on the other side, and he said, don't miss it. He said, you cannot afford to miss it. And you know what? A man who had been around the world, prayed the sick, seen the power of God move, raise the dead, grow limbs, open blind eyes, you name it, Brother Bram has seen all that, and he's standing there telling you that with my experience, of all the things I've told you, and I'm telling you, you can't afford to miss it. Don't miss it. Amen. So let's just bow our hearts together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just expressed this morning, such a tremendous time that we live, but God, we're so thankful that there is promises in your word that you've said you'd keep your people. And yet, Lord, we also know that it's an hour for us to really move up on into the things that you have asked and you've given to us. And it's not like, Lord, you're asking us to do something you've not committed, but you've actually placed in this land, in this message, Lord, that which we need. And so, God, I know it's all of our responsibilities, each one, whether it's a housewife or a leader or whoever it might be, a minister. Lord, it's our responsibility, each one of us, to move up into the Word. And as I was reading where your prophet said that when that Pentecostal movement came and the church failed to move up into it, God, we don't want to be failures of moving up into the truth, because, Lord, that would cause a plague to strike just as we saw that time. But, God, we want to be your people. We want to move up into the truth and then become the expression that you would have us to be in this day. And so we're asking, God, that you'd help us. As Brother Daniel mentioned earlier, that this would be a time we'd each rededicate ourselves to you, God, to walk with you. And I'm just asking, God, that everyone here today, Lord, and anybody who's here today, just take a moment and search their heart and ask themselves, am I really trying to walk in this truth? Am I really accepting this token message? And Lord, I pray that if they're not, I pray that they would make a dedication right now to do so in their life, that they would go home and remove the things that hinders and begin to seek your face. We know, Lord, that if they will make one step before you, towards you, that you will definitely respond back. We're asking for your mercy, God, not your judgment, but your mercy upon each one. We've all made mistakes. We've all wasted time. But I'm asking, God, you forgive each one of us. And as a whole and as individuals, you forgive us, Lord, and help us going forward to not make those same mistakes over again. That you would purge us completely and surely and completely of everything that's not like you, that we place it before you. And I know, God, that you have in your program free moral agent. We have to make that choice. But I'm asking, God, in the ministry of the word this morning, that each one have that pull in their heart. They make that decision to walk with you. Lord, we just commit them into your hands now. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing, You Are God Alone. Again, that song we had just a while ago. Let's all stand. If you want to come up and pray, we'll pray with you, but we want to rejoice. Even in hours like right now, he's still God alone. Amen. I love this song because to me it's present tense.
Amen.
Amen.
You are not a God created.
Thank you.
There's no ending place for it.
Yes.
Amen. Just want to remind you that 2 weeks from today, Brother Josh, God will be with us. And I understand that sister's trip is in jeopardy, I guess, pretty much, isn't it? Yeah. So, but I'm sure that if you stay home, we'll love you and maybe try to make up the difference or something for you, but I know you're really planning on it. But anyway, hey, God's on the throne. He knows what he's doing. And if that means no trips, no vacations, whatever, hey, he knows what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
But we're going to walk by faith. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. And Josh texted me and said, are we still on? I was so sure. Sure, we're still on. What do you mean? And I didn't tell him that, but yeah, we're still on. So, amen, we're looking forward. So be in prayer for that. But may the Lord bless you. And Brother Tim has a song he can
just the line.
It's on, but the